We want to welcome all of you to the gospel service this Sabbath evening. We appreciate your presence with us. Hymn 332 is our opening hymn for the gospel service tonight. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. A hymn of testimony, 332. We're going to leave out the middle verse. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5, and we'll stand together as we sing, please. Change in some heart and life, even in the service tonight, by the mighty power of the gospel. So let's seek his face together. Father, we come to thee at the throne of grace. We rejoice in the access you've given to us. We thank you, Father, that the way is always open for us as thy people, right into thy presence. We rejoice that we can seek thee at any time and at all times. We do praise thee, Father, for that great privilege that is granted to us, that we who are but dust and ashes are able to come and speak with thee. We ask, Father, for help in our prayers tonight. We do feel our need at all times when we come to commune with Thee. So we're pleading, Father, for the Spirit of God to come down upon the service. And we want to pray, Father, that the Spirit of prayer might come down even now upon this gathering. We pray, Father, that You'd give to each of us even that desire to commune with Thee at the outset of this meeting. There's so many things, Father, on our hearts and in our lives that we need to speak to Thee about and cry for Your help and guidance. So we're glad, Father, we're able to unitedly as a congregation commune around the throne of heavenly grace. We ask Thee, Father, to help us to cast all our cares upon Thee. You've assured us that You care for us. Lord, what a blessing that is, how it touches our hearts tonight. It thrills us to know that the Holy God, the Sovereign God of all the universe, cares for us and cares for our circumstances. Thank You that You cared for our souls and that You sent Your Son to the cross to die in our place. We thank You, Father, for the words of our motto text. You said we're to be careful about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we're to make our requests known unto God. We acknowledge, Father, there's so many things that cross our path day by day in life that cause us concern and anxiety. We can be full of cares and full of worries. Lord, help us ever to bring those things to Thee, to seek Thee for Your guidance and for Your help. We pray, Father, for those in the meeting tonight and those in the congregation that have concerns and heavy burdens upon their heart, passing through trying and difficult circumstances. Lord, draw near to such, to each one. Grant them Your grace. We ask of Thee, thank You for that great assurance. Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, we ask that each one will know the sufficiency of Your grace for the circumstances that they're passing through. Lord, we want to pray that Your saving grace might be displayed in this service tonight. We thank You for what we've been singing about together, the mighty power of the gospel. We thank You, Father, that gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not the power of man, not the power of the church. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, Lord, display that power in our gospel service tonight. May a soul be saved, may a life be changed and transformed. May, Lord, conversion take place. May there be one converted in this service tonight. And Lord, we ask even more that You would display the power of the gospel in this city and in this community. Lord, those that are taken up with a religion but have never been regenerated, those that are in the depths of sin, those that are held fast in the fetters of sin, we thank You that the Word of God teaches that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we want to pray that even in this city tonight, that there will be some that will be set free by the mighty power of the gospel. We want to pray, Father, that You would raise up trophies of grace in this city, great trophies of grace that would be a testimony to God and to the power of the gospel, to the greatness of God's grace. We remember that woman that was converted when she met the Saviour at Sychar's well, and how she went in to the city and gave her testimony of the one that she had met and what he had done in her life, and how that many came to Christ as a result. And Lord, we would ask that You would do the same in our city. Lord, we ask that You would be pleased to reach down to the depths and save some of the greatest sinners in this city of ours as a testimony to the greatness of our God and to the greatness of His grace. Remember the words of that hymn of Samuel Davis's, "Who is a pardoning God like Thee?" Or "Who is grace so rich and free?" So Lord, we pray, display the greatness of Your grace. We thank You that You're the same God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What You did in Sychar or Samaria those many years ago, you can do again, over and over again here in Armagh. And we're asking, Lord, that you would do that. Remember a brother who will testify to us tonight of the grace of God in his life. Thank you, Father, for your hand upon his life. And we thank you for his service and his dear wife as well. We thank you for their presence with us this evening. Our prayer is that you would use our brother. We pray that he'll know that he's being helped of God in this service as he speaks to us, tells of the Lord's saving grace, tells of the day that you brought him to yourself. And Lord, we want to pray that some heart or hearts in the service, some listening, even to this service tonight, might be spoken to, and that they too would come to know the Saviour. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. So we pray, Father, use our brother, speak through him, challenge even our hearts as your people to greater efforts in the service of the Master, just to go that little further in our work and in our labours for the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for the incoming week down in Killaloe. We thank you for the children's meeting there. We thank you for the workers, the leaders. We praise thee for their diligence in seeking to reach that community and reach the children of that locality for the Saviour. We pray, Father, put your hand upon those meetings in a very definite way. We pray from the very first night that it will be evident that the Lord is there, that the Lord is at work, that your hand is upon the meetings. We pray you'll put your seal upon the whole week from the very first night by bringing a child to Christ in salvation. We pray it will be a time of blessing. Lord, we want to ask that even through the children, that homes and families will be spoken to, and homes and families might be changed as well by the mighty power of the gospel. We're praying, Father, use the little ones and the things that they hear, the choruses that they're taught to sing, the verses that they memorize, the stories that are told. We pray that those little ones might go home and repeat those things to their parents and to their siblings, and that they too, in that way, will be used of God to speak to others also. We're praying, Father, in a very definite way. We know that there's no place that's too hard for thee. There's nothing that's too hard for our God to do. You're the Almighty. And Lord, come this week and display great blessing even in that Killaloe village and the area around about. So we're just crying, Lord, be with us tonight. Come now and lead us. And we plead that you'll take control, take charge of the meeting tonight in every part, and may we all be able to say that we've been helped and blessed of God in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together, please. We're in Acts chapter 16. The 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to begin to read at the 16th verse. We're reading down to the end of the verse 34. Acts 16 and verse 16. So let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her." And they came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So we're ending just there, the close of the 34th verse. And we pray the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the public reading of his word. We give each one a sincere word of welcome to the evening service in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence. It's good to see a nice number gathered with us this Sabbath evening. And we appreciate each one that has come along tonight to share with us. We welcome as well those that are listening into the service on the live stream. And we pray that you'll be spoken to as well through this service. You'll know the Lord's presence and blessing also as a result of all that takes place. Remember, please, the special meetings this incoming week down in Killalea, Monday through to Thursday, the special Bible club. It's every evening from 6:30 until 8:00. Miss Shannon Ross is the speaker. Remember that there's invitations there in the porch. We would appreciate your help, and the leaders down in Killalea would appreciate your help just making the meetings known. So remember to take a few of those as you're going from the service this evening. Give them out to the children in your family, the children in your community, especially if you're from down around the Killalea area. Encourage the boys and girls to come along night by night. And please be much in prayer for the meetings. Take time every day just to ask for the Lord's blessing to be upon them. We're thankful to the leaders for all that they have done already, the invitations that have gone out into the schools in the community. We appreciate the willingness of the schools to distribute those leaflets among all of their pupils. There's some posters that have gone up, a banner there in the village as well. And already some of the parents have been in touch with the leaders just to let them know that their children are going to be coming along. So we're pleased to hear that, the interest in the meetings. It's all very encouraging, and we pray that there will be a blessed week there among the children. So please do all you can. If you can help in any way, if you haven't been able to indicate that as yet, let some of the leaders know as soon as possible. Remember, Wednesday night, our midweek service, the Bible study, the season of prayer, we'd value your presence with us on Wednesday evening. I hope to be speaking at that meeting myself. Remember, Friday evening at 7 over in the Bethany Church in Portadown, our sister congregation, it's their annual barbecue fun night and auction for the Portadown Independent Christian School. If you can, go along and give support to it. The details, including the cost, is on the flyers and the poster that's found there in the porch. Next Lord's Day, the 26th of June, remember that the Sunday school and Bible classes are now off for the summer period. So the morning service at 11:30. There will be communion immediately after the morning service, served this time just in the normal manner. The evening service at 6:30. Remember, please, the season of prayer at 6:00 downstairs in the hall. And I'll be the preacher at both of those meetings myself. Just remind you again that the midweek service will be moving back downstairs again on Wednesday the 20th of July. There'll be no midweek service the previous week, that's Wednesday the 13th, just because of where it falls in that holiday week. But the week following, the week after, we will move back downstairs to the church hall. Just remind you of those gifts that have come in recently. The Whitfield College offering, the annual May offering, now stands at £620. The gifts that were given for the outreach last Saturday at the Armagh Show, those have totaled £490. So we thank you once more for your very encouraging and liberal giving to the cause of the gospel. Just to make you aware also that the late Mr. William Stothers left £3,000 to the church in his will. The church recently received that from the solicitors that were handling the estate. So we do appreciate William's thoughtfulness and kindness in leaving that gift to the congregation here. Remember, William passed away during the original lockdown in May of 2020. We're making a missionary appeal for the little church in Naporo in Kenya, where a sister, Miss Gillian Gillespie, she was then now Mrs. Gillian Moore, spent the last number of years of her missionary labours in Kenya. Last year they started the Early Child Development Centre, what we would call a nursery school. It's known the blessing of the Lord that little work is growing. It needs an extension of the facilities there that will cost £2,500. So we'd like to try and help with that project, that little building extension program that they're going to be engaged in. If possible, we'd like to raise the entire £2,500. So we're making an appeal for gifts, put in an envelope, place it on the plate, and mark it for the Kenya school. So please keep that in mind. We are planning as a church to have some outreach on the 12th of July as the County Armagh demonstration is going to be here in the city, in the will of the Lord. We heard during the week that the plans now are to televise the demonstration that will take place here in the city as well. But our focus is going to be on the outreach, the King William tract that was printed last year, and many of you helped in the distribution of that and the various demonstrations that you were taking part in. So if you can help with that outreach on the 12th of July, please let our brother Billy know as soon as possible. Keep in mind the special service for our sister Joy. We're just giving you advance notice of that, Sunday the 7th of August at 6:30 in the evening. The Reverend Harris, the chairman of the board, in the will of the Lord, will be here to be the speaker that night. So please set the night aside and plan to attend. Remember the literature that's available, the latest edition of the LTBS Quarterly magazine, the copies of the Farming in the Future leaflet as well that we published for the show. Remember the little booklet, the Concordance to Prophecy. There's copies in the porch, £1.50 each. There's a little list there for you to put your name on if you're taking a copy or copies. The very first chapter deals with the 70 weeks of Daniel 9, or the very first section of the little booklet, and it deals with several other important and prominent subjects related to Bible prophecy as well. Remember the little cards for the Lockhearn Convention. Again, in the will of the Lord, it's taking place in the Bethel Church in Enniskillen this year. So there's little card booklets with the details. Please remember to pray for Aaron Park's dad, David, and Colin Green's father, Edmund, both experiencing just ill health at this time. And remember that we have opened the front of the church up just a little, taken away some of the tape from the front of the church. The idea is we're seeking to open up the church a little farther as far as the restrictions were concerned, and the congregation able to seat themselves pretty much now in full, except for when the building itself is filling up a little. The men will still give a little bit of help and guidance as to where seats are still available. We are conscious that there are cases of COVID throughout the denomination and even locally here in the city and in the community, so there's still a need to have a little bit of care in that matter. So we're going to sing another hymn together. I think those are all the announcements. This is what was Mr. Paisley's favourite hymn, 211. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old yet ever new. 211, and we'll stand to sing all of the verses, please. Teams The board views those mission teams in two categories. There's the spiritual mission teams that go out to do things like holiday Bible clubs, and Kyle and Elaine both were a part of one of the groups went out to do the VBS in Emmanuel 3 years ago in 2019. And the other group of work team is the practical, that's going out to help with some of the building work. And there's some here tonight that are very able, very skilled in building work, various talents and so on. So we want to try across the whole denomination to challenge folk to get a little bit more involved in that. There's various projects coming up that we're planning for, that we have on the horizon, and we need a little bit of help. So our brother's going to mention in his testimony tonight how he got involved. Kyle has been out four times for the practical building projects as well. In fact, he's been in Uganda six times in total. One of them was going out to prepare and plan for the electrical project. And Elaine has been with him on all four. If you count the VBS, five times. Our sister has been there as well. So just to give you a little bit of idea, that's the Emmanuel Mission Station itself. It covers about 3 acres or thereabouts. If you look down the left-hand side, look down the boundary wall, the very last building that you come to there is the toilet block. So that was the first project that our brother was involved in. The first phase of that took place in February of 2018. So there was a digger brought in. Nothing like the diggers that we have here. One of the challenges they had with that digger was keeping the tracks on her as they moved her about. So they dug the tank and then concreted the floor with a reinforcing bar, got the blocks down in for the building of the walls. Those two pipes, you can see the gentleman with the green shirt, they slid the blocks down those two pipes just to make the work a little bit easier. And then the building of the walls themselves, you can see the strength, the substantial building work. So there's a lot of time needed, long days, long hours that went into building the wall. And then they got in the subfloor coming up to the to where the toilets would be themselves. That was really the end of the first project way back there, a little over 4 years, almost 4.5 years ago. Mr. Foster done a little bit of work in between. He had levelled up the site, put in the floor on the top for the walls to commence. The children were keen to get involved. They're always keen to get involved. So the building of the walls, putting on the roof and so on, you can see the progress that's being made. The building then of little toilet cubicles themselves, the trusses going up and the roof going on. And as I said a little earlier, there's some men here that would be very familiar with all of that sort of work. You have good experience of it. So when the toilet cubicles were finished, they were all tiled as well. So that was the team at the end of that phase of the work. And that's how the toilet block looks today, with the water harvesting pipes that were added since to try and collect the water off the roof during the rainy season. And that's the case of all of, or most of, the roofs of the Emmanuel facility itself. So then the other major project, and this is really Kyle's specialty. Kyle's own business is involved with the electric business. One of the major projects when the Wembley Stadium in London was built, our brother was involved in that vast building project, the electrical side. So he'll maybe be able to clarify for you just a little of their involvement in that. So this is really his specialty, the mains electric project. Our brother Kyle and Richard Foster from the Kilskerry Church led this project and led the team for us. Unemi is the name of the electric company out there in Uganda. So they are putting in there the transformer. You can see it, they lift it over the wall into the little spot that Mr. Foster had prepared for it. There was a lot of work carried out in advance of the team going out. There had to be channels dug, trunking and piping put in. And you can see on the right there the cabling, and you can see the strength, how substantial the cabling itself is. We worked out that day, just before the meeting down in Lisburn, and I think it was 15 kilometres, isn't that right? 15 kilometres of cable that was put in this electrical project. The entire facility, remember, it's 3 acres, so they're bringing electric to every part of it. So that's about 9 miles. So that would nearly stretch from here to Portadown if it was all stretched out end on end, how much cabling actually went in. So you can see the men doing various jobs. You get an indication, that's Kyle on the right up the stepladder. You can get an indication of how many wires were installed and how many wires they were actually working with. So again, the children, very keen to get involved and to help out. And that was the team that went out on the first phase. That was way back in February of 2020. You can see the Dr. and Mrs. Campbell from the Lisburn Church in the picture. Dr. Campbell was out supplying the pulpit at that particular time. There was that standing joke with Miss McAfee. She asked when they would come back again. They joked they would be back before Christmas. They intended actually to be back in 3 or 4 months, but because of the pandemic, it was slightly over 2 years. March just of this year, they were able to make the return journey. In between, this switchboard had been manufactured by R&R Engineering down in Moneray. Kyle had arranged for that, the contact that he has with the firm there. There's a fellow in that firm that goes to Windsor Baptist Church in Belfast, and he was thrilled to be involved in this project. Every week he's involved in secular projects, big industrial projects. So to be given a project that involved helping with missionary work really thrilled his heart. And he took it upon his heart and gave us all to it. So that was shipped out. That was a challenge in itself. So when the team went out, they completed the rewiring and the connecting up then of the mains and all of the testing that went with that. That's the two main water tanks just outside the missionary accommodation. So electric had to go up to the tanks as well and the pumps. Previous to this, there was a generator going maybe 10 hours a day just to get the water pumped into these tanks. So that has been one of the very significant changes of the mains electric being connected. So again, you get an idea of the various members of the team. This is a wee bit of on-the-ground training that Kyle is giving to Madam Noreen. It looks just as if he's pointing at this light and he's saying, if that green light goes out, you're in trouble, Noreen. But we're very thankful for all of the help that he gave to Noreen as well, just to give her an understanding of what needs to be done to help operate the system. So this was a very significant moment. Mains Electric, for the lights both inside and outside the missionary accommodation. When George and I first went out in April of 2014, there was no mains electric. The nearest electric was 3 miles away. When we went to bed at night, they gave us an oil lamp. It reminded me of my days growing up on the farm at home, the oil lamps that we would have had then. So there's quite a change, and it's a very, very significant step forward for the Emmanuel Mission Station. It has made an immense difference to all that is taking place there. And we do thank our brother and his dear wife and Richard and all the team for all the time and work that was devoted to that. It's really hard for me to convey to you the amount of time and planning. When you have a very limited window of time, when you're there for no more than 2 weeks, and think that they rewired that entire complex. Previously it was wired for solar, which was nowhere near sufficient. They rewired the entire complex, connected the electric and so forth, in no more than a month, no more than 4 weeks, in a very remote location. So that was the team that went out just there in March of this year. So that gives you a wee bit of an idea of some of the projects our brother has been involved in. But we're going to ask him to come and to testify for us and to tell us just a little of how he got into the work teams, the work projects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McMillan. It is a privilege to be here tonight, and I want to thank your minister for his very kind words of welcome. I was just thinking, whenever I was down there, I noticed I thought to myself, he's got a very big Bible, but I noticed he's lifted it out of the road, so it's not too bad. I want to read from the scriptures. I want to thank him for reading from Acts chapter 16, and that's very significant. And whenever it comes to my testimony, and I want to read as well, please, from Luke chapter 19. Whenever I come to give my testimony, I can't help but come to these two passages of scripture. And for me, it's maybe not at first apparent, but for me, they're very much linked whenever I think of my life. Luke chapter 19, and I'm just going to read the 10 verses. It's a very, very familiar, I'm sure, portion of God's word to everyone. Luke chapter 19 and the verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Maybe we'll come just a wee word of prayer just before the Lord and ask him to give us help tonight. You know, I need the help of the Lord tonight, and you need the help of the Lord as well, that the Lord would speak to each one of our hearts and bless us tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming and just being a witness for thee. Lord, I thank you for the day and for the hour that you saved me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we just relate some of the things, some of the aspects of my own life, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us. And we pray, Lord, that none will be seen in this place save Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone in this meeting tonight and they're still without thee, they're not saved, Lord, I pray that you'll come and you'll convince and convict men and women, boys and girls of their sin, and just draw them on to a wonderful Savior, draw them on to yourself. Lord, we thank you that this verse says that you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, we pray for your help tonight, both speaker and hearer alike, and we'll be careful to give thee all the honour and all the glory, for we ask these things in thy precious name. Amen. Amen. Over in Acts chapter 16, if maybe we turn back to that chapter, down in verse 30 it says, And this speaks of the jailer who has just asked what he must do to be saved. And Paul and Silas is there, and he says in verse 30, and he brought them out and said, What, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And it's these words, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were there in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And you know, as I look back over my life and as I go way back into my very earliest days, that's really my testimony. That the Lord came in to our house. You know, whenever the first 9 years of my life, our home was anything but a Christian home. The Lord wouldn't have been honoured. In fact, my dad enjoyed each weekend going out, and it had been found in the public houses. And as a result, we really didn't have very much at home, because most of the money would have been spent in that way. But you know, something wonderful happened. The Lord Jesus came into our home. And that takes me over to Luke chapter 19. And in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, the Lord said to Zacchaeus, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. So he looks up to the tree. Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and he saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And you know, as I've said, the first 9 years of my life, our home was anything but a Christian home. But at Easter 1980, my dad got saved. And I'll come to that event in a wee minute. But my dad got saved, and that day he brought the Saviour home to our house. And our house was completely changed, completely renewed. And the drink was gone, everything was gone. And you know, our house was completely changed. So that day, the Saviour came to our home. You know, I was born on the 12th of November, 1971. Now, to see if anybody starting to count on their fingers or whatever, I'll be 51 on my next birthday. And I know you're looking at me and said, couldn't be. But it is. I'll be 51 on my next birthday. Born on the 12th of November, 1971. As I've already said, I wasn't born into a Christian home. Wasn't born into a Christian home. But you know, I was thinking, I'm sure, and I've just, as Reverend McMullen has as well, I've just got a wee grandchild about 7 weeks ago. And you know, whenever he comes to our house, I take him in my arms, and I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed at his wee fingers and his wee toes and how perfect that wee baby is. And you know, I could sit all day and just look at him. And you know, I'm sure my mum and my dad had that same experience whenever I was born. I'm sure they took me, and they took me in their arms, and I'm sure to them I was just perfection, a wee perfect baby in their eyes. But you know, as God looked down on me, as that wee baby, God saw sin. And God saw a sinner. You know, the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, and it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 3 and 23 it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, even though my mum and dad probably doted on me and saw me as perfect in their sight, as God looked on me, God just saw me as a sinner. And you know, men and women, tonight, as I start to relate to you my story and my testimony, I've started in the same place that all of you have started in. We have all been born in sin. And as God looks down in this meeting tonight, he either sees us as sinners on the road to a lost eternity, or he sees us as saved or righteous. He sees the righteousness of Christ in us. And as I was born and I was in my mum's arms in those early years of my life, I was like everyone else. I was born in sin. You know, I'm sure as many and as most people, we all have people that come into our lives. And as we look back on our lives, they have been great influences in our life. And there was a man, and as I look back to my childhood years, that man was a great influence in our home. His name was Arthur Farr. And Arthur Farr was a blind man, and he was my dad's uncle. And he was blind, but Arthur Farr, well, suppose I could say across the whole family, he was the boss. He was the boss. Everyone in our family looked up to him. And whatever he said, as a child looking in, whatever he said seemed to go. And you know, my dad was, I suppose, what we would call in our part of the world, he was a wild man. He was a drinker, and he was a fighter, and he was more often in the local jailhouse in the town, and he was a wild man. But whenever Arthur Farr said something, he listened to him. And you know, on Arthur Farr, he was blind, he had an accident whenever he was a teenager, out shooting. He had a love for shooting in the fields and for clay pigeon shooting and all that. But Arthur Farr's life was changed. Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church, and that's the place that I was brought up in. It had just started, and he had started to go, and he got saved. And as I've already read, his life was changed completely. And you know, Arthur Farr was a very shrewd operator, because suddenly he needed someone to take him to church. So he would have got in touch with some of the family that weren't saved, and they became the taxi people or the taxi man to take him to church. And that would have went on for a period of time, and then the Lord would have saved that person. And then Arthur Farr didn't need him anymore, so he needed somebody else. And that's how he worked through his family. And you know, we would have had to take him to church. And I remember those very early days. And I was just thinking today, because I know Mr. McMillan has a link to Cookstown. If I'm right in saying you studied in Lockley, is that right? And he will remember the old wooden hut on the Fountain Road. And that's where we went. And I have some really fond memories of that place. And we would have went and we would have taken my dad's uncle. And there we heard about the Lord Jesus, who came and he died on the cross for sinners. That was the first that me as a wee child heard the message of salvation. And we would have went week after week, and my parents would have started to send me to the children's meetings and to the Sunday school. But really, it was really to keep Arthur, my uncle, happy. And we would have been sent along. Nothing really changed in the week, during the week in our home. Everything went on as normal. My dad went out and did whatever he did, and that went on. But in 1980, Easter of 1980, everything changed. And I can't remember much about that Sunday, because I wasn't there. It was just like any other Sunday to me. I was a wee boy of 8 years of age. But that Sunday, my dad, unbeknown to me, went to a meeting in a local Orange Hall. And there, he gave his life to the Lord. There he got saved. And I can remember the next morning, and my mum, and I can remember this scene very, very vividly. My mum was getting me ready, and she was putting like a wee cardigan thing on me with a zip on it. And I can remember as she zipped it up, she says to me, "Your dad got saved yesterday." And I was only a wee boy of 8. And she says, "Everything's going to be different." And she wasn't saved. But we knew enough, having attended the meetings in Cookstown Free Presbyterian Church, that everything was going to be different. And she was right. Everything changed in our home. And that's why I very much relate my testimony to Luke chapter 19. Because that day Zacchaeus come down from the tree, and he took the Saviour home with him. And that Sunday, in Easter 1980, my dad went to an old hall, an Orange Hall, and he got saved, and he brought the Saviour home with him. And our home was changed. And that same year, my mum got saved. And then, around November of that same year, I felt the Lord really working on my heart, just as a wee boy. And I had told my parents and I had told my Sunday school teacher that I wanted to get saved. And on the 16th of November, and I remember it well, it was an old, cold night, and that old wooden hut, you knew it was a cold night, all right. And I remember being there just as a wee boy, and I had been talking to my dad that I wanted to get saved. And I can remember at the end of the meeting, he turned to me, and he said, "Do you want to speak to the Reverend Stewart?" And I said, "I do."
And I can remember we went outside and down the side of the building, and there just at the back of that old hut, on the 16th of November, 1980, I gave my life as a wee boy of nine, just after my 9th birthday, I gave my life to the Saviour. And you know, he came in and he saved me. And you know, I'm 51 and I'm standing here today, and I'm not here tonight because of any goodness that has been in me. I'm here tonight because the Lord has kept me to this hour. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're saying, well, you know, Kyle, if I got saved, I couldn't keep it. And I've heard that so many times. Some people think, well, if they get saved, they will have to give this up and that up and the other thing up, and they have a list of stuff, and this is what they have to give up. And they'll say, well, if I get saved, there's no way I could keep it. And you know, in some respects, you're dead right. You couldn't keep it. And I couldn't keep it. But you know, as I got saved as a wee boy of 9 years of age, the Lord all these years has kept me. And he keeps us. And he looks after us. And he becomes our Saviour and our friend. And I give my life to the Saviour on that day. You know, whenever you get saved, you don't really sit and do nothing. And I remember I had a desire in Cookstown Church to be involved as I grew up in my teenage years, to be involved in the youth fellowship and various things. And I look back on my time with great fondness, going on various outings, various meetings, and just that whole childhood I've been brought up. And I was just like every other. I've heard many Free Presbyterian children, as you call it, that generation, saying that they went to every meeting that was in the church. I could honestly say I was at every meeting in the week apart from the ladies' fellowship. That was the only meeting that I wasn't allowed to go to. But I was at every other meeting. And that's really a similar story, I'm sure, to many of you who have been brought up through this denomination. I was at every meeting that was going in the church. And as I went up through school, I wouldn't say that I backslid, but definitely in high school, I probably would say I nearly lived a double life. I didn't really take my stand, but if you had have asked me, I would have easily told you that I was a Christian, but I didn't make it known to you unless you would have asked me. And that's really how I could have described my childhood and my teenage years. Well, I'm sure like any young man, I got to the age where I started to notice girls. And she's here tonight. And I met Elaine, I think it was way back about 1989. And thankfully we met through the churches. And Elaine was from Macrofelt congregation. Hence the reason why I'm in Macrofelt congregation today. Because whenever I got married, that's where I moved to. But Elaine and me started going out with each other. And in 1994, we got married. And the Lord has really blessed us. He blessed us with 3 children. Blessed us now with a wee grandchild. But he's blessed us with giving us opportunities to serve him. And that's really what I want to dwell on or think about now. Whenever we got married, we had been going to the youth fellowship. That had been our life. We had been going to youth fellowship on a Saturday night. And we were, as I said, we were going to all the meetings. If I thought I was going to a lot of meetings before I met Elaine, well, that only increased. Because I was not only going to the prayer meeting and everything in Cookstown, but whenever I started going out with Elaine, I was going to the meetings in Macrofelt as well. So that seemed to be our life. We were going to the meetings. We got married. And we just continued to go on with the way we were going. Going to all the meetings. We were at the prayer meetings. And we were going to the youth fellowship. And then the Lord started to deal with me. Just as a young man, I think I was about 23. And he started to deal with me that there was more for me to do. There was more for me to do. And he wanted me to serve him. And I really got a burden in my heart to do something, even within the congregation, do something more for the Lord. And I remember, just as a young married man, getting down and reading, and I knew enough, I'd been brought up through the church enough that I needed to find out, and I needed to search the scriptures and find out what the Lord wanted me to do. And I can honestly say that went on for weeks. And I seemed to be getting nowhere. It wouldn't matter what I read or where I was reading, I wasn't getting any guidance as to what the God wanted me to do. And I was getting very frustrated, and I was getting very impatient, and I just didn't know what the Lord wanted me to do. And we were continuing on with our lives. And one Sunday morning, I can remember, I was sitting up in the gallery, and this battle, that's all I can describe it as, was going on in my mind. And I remember, and I, everything that was going on in the service seemed to be, you know, outside this wee bubble. And I was having this battle within me. And what did the Lord want? You know, why was I having this burden to serve the Lord, and yet there seemed to be no direction or no guidance of what the Lord wanted me to do? And I remember that morning, and I should have wrote the hymn down, but I remember that morning we sung a hymn, and there was a verse in that hymn, and it basically was talking about, among the older people, you may not be apt to teach, but to teach my lambs and place the food within their reach. That was basically the words of the verse. And as I sung that verse, you know, I have to say, I started to cry in that meeting. And I felt as the Lord calling me to work with the children. And you know, just to put a seal on it, as we were walking out that morning, my brother-in-law, as he does, hit me a punch in the arm. And he says, "Hey boy, did you ever think of the children's meeting?" And I couldn't believe it. But you know, I still went back, and as I says, I couldn't get any direction from God's word up until that time. And I remember that Sunday morning, and I said these words. I didn't say them out, but I remember saying them. And I often think to myself, as I look back, and that's, I'm sure it's 20 years ago, I often think to myself, "Lord, keep me in that place." I remember saying these words, "Lord, I will do what you want me to do, and I will go where you want me to go." And you know, folks, I meant it. I was in a place where I was broken, and I meant every word I said. I said, "I will do what you want me to do, and I'll go where you want me to go." And I started to search the scriptures again, and you know, the verses started to come about working with children. And as I look back on that, and this is a wee challenge just for us all, I believe that I had to submit to God and make myself genuinely available to God before He told me exactly where He wanted me to go. And often I look back to that Sunday morning, and I can see myself and hear myself saying those words to the Lord. And a lot of times I think, "Lord, keep me there. Keep me in that place. No matter what service I'm in at the minute, keep me in the place where I'm prepared to do what you want me to do and go where you want me to go." The Lord took us in to the children's work and the children's meeting. And you know, I loved it. I remember the very first children's meeting I went to, we had a wee outreach meeting in the town of Moneymore, and it was, I would say 90% of the children that went to that meeting were Roman Catholics. The wee Roman Catholic children, and they used to come in, and they used to ring the bell in the chapel. So they did at about 8 o'clock, and the meeting, a lot of the children just cleared and headed, there must have been something on at the chapel. But those children were so inquisitive. If you had a seat at the end of your lesson, if you have any questions, come up and see me. You would have had a queue of children standing waiting on you. That's the type of meeting it was. And they had so many questions about their faith, and they couldn't really grasp what we were telling them. And I remember, and I'll tell you this story, because we have some wonderful stories of, and I know you have children's meetings happening this week, and just to encourage you, I can remember as a young Christian in the children's meeting, and I can remember on the particular hall we were working in, the men were, we couldn't have it for a few months because they were renovating it, and we had our children's meetings on the bus on the main street in Moneymore. And on that bus this particular night, I remember one of our brethren leading a wee boy to the Lord on the bus. A wee Roman Catholic fella. And I'll never forget the words he said after it. He says, "Now I will never have to go into the box again." That's what he said. And he meant the confessional box. And that was just a wee child. And he had got it. Whenever he gave his life to the Lord, I remember him saying those words, "I will never have to go into the box again." And you know, we had some wonderful times. And I spent, and Elaine and myself, we worked in the children's meeting on the buses and sitting among the boys and girls. And then as we progressed, starting to tell stories and do quizzes and various things. And just as a young married couple, we spent our time working in the children's meeting. And then as time went on, we were approached about leadership. Our brother, Rodney Mitchell, who was leading the work, moved to another congregation. And they approached me to consider the leadership of the work. Now, they were putting a committee together. And I always say, well, you can pick the odd one out of this committee. I'll give you the names. In that committee leading the children's work was Ryan McKee, Andrew Stewart, and Stephen McRae, and myself. Now, if you know anything about those four men, the rest of them are all ministers today in our congregations. The Reverend McKee is in Macrafelt, the Reverend Stewart is in Ballymena, and the Reverend McRae was in Carrickfergus and going to Ballinahinch. So I always feel, well, I'm the odd one out. I'm the only one who never became a minister. But that was the committee, and we looked after, we led the children's work. And we had missions around the country, and in Macara we had a wee outreach work. And we used to have it in the Orange Hall. I could talk about children's work here all night, by the way, so if the time starts to go, get me reined in. There was a wee children's meeting in Macara. We used to have it in Orange Hall, and I used to say it was colder inside the hall than it was outside it. Whenever we were in the meeting, you could have saw your breath in the winter time. And we had a number of wee children came as a result of a mission we had in Macara. And those wee children came, and in Macara, the Orange men decided that we couldn't have the hall, they were going to do it up. And we moved it to the primary school. And overnight, our numbers doubled. And as we were leading the work, as I said, those other three men went into the ministry, and they came one at a time, and they announced to the rest of the committee, "Well, I'm heading to the Whitfield." And that left three. And then the next one come here, "I'm going to the Whitfield." And that left myself and Andrew Stewart. And we were leading the work, and I got a burden. We were going over to, what, you know, week about, over to Macara to look after this wee outreach work. And the Lord gave me a burden that the wee outreach work needed a bit of stability. And I really got a burden. And I approached the session and asked, could I step out of the work in the main congregation and go to Macara full time? And they prayed about it, and they said, yeah, that's what you can do. And Elaine and myself spent 10 years over in Macara, and the Lord really blessed that work. We saw souls saved. We saw numbers that started with 2 and 3, and I think one year we had 60-something children coming into the primary school in Macara. And the Lord really blessed that work in Macara. And then we come to COVID. By the way, I'm going to get on to Uganda in a minute. We come to COVID, and as we know, everything shut down. But during COVID, we started to do, as most congregations did, we started to do recordings. And we were putting recordings out every week, myself and another brother in the church, and we would record every week, and we did that. And you know, during lockdown, if you had said to me, "Where do you see yourself in the work of God in Macrafelt?" I would have said, "I'm in Macara, children's meeting, to the day I retire." I never dreamt or imagined that I would be doing anything else within the congregation. But in January last year, January, February, I can only describe it as becoming very unsettled. And I become very unsettled, and I started to question and asked, "Lord, is this where you still want me to be?" And it's strange. I can't really explain it, how I was feeling. And I started to really question, is this where you want me to be? And I struggled with that, and I was reading, and I could see nothing else that was opening up before me within the congregation, but yet I had this feeling, and I just wanted to make sure. I knew things were starting to open up, and I knew the works would all start getting back, and I really wanted to make sure, Lord, am I still in the centre of your will? Am I still going the road that you want me to go? And you know, our Sunday school superintendent, one Sunday morning, I was teaching Sunday school as well, but I could honestly say that my heart was always in the children's meeting. But the Sunday school superintendent brought us in, and he said that he was going to retire. And from the minute those words come out of his mouth, I couldn't get the idea of this role out of my head. Now, nobody had ever approached me about it. Nobody had ever said anything to me about it. But it really was in my mind 24/7. And I started to pray, and I started to really search God's word, and God seemed to be giving me this time verses and guidance that this was the way he wanted me to go. And I really was getting frustrated again, because here was a situation now that God was showing me, as I felt, where he wanted me to go, but there was nobody else within the congregation even thinking in my mind about me. And this man who was retiring, this position was becoming available, and really, I was convinced. And I remember and nights getting down and the own prayer time, and I was praying, Lord, if I've got this wrong, I need you to take this out of my mind. But if I've got this right, I need you to guide the session exactly the same manner. And that's the way I kept leading it. And I remember the morning it happened, the Reverend McKee rang me and he says, can I see you? And I says, you can. And I knew rightly. I put the phone down and I knew rightly what was about to happen. And he come. And this year, we have had a step out, or we stepped out of the work in the children's meeting, and we're in Sunday school. And we've had our first full year nearly as superintendent of Sunday school. It's very busy at the moment. We've had a very busy day trying to practice and get the children all in and practicing for a children's Sunday. But we've really been blessed and enjoyed our time. And really, that has been my heart. My heart has been working with the boys and girls all them years, 20 odd years within the congregation. But as the Reverend McMillan has said, in 2018, I was at the prayer meeting, and Barry Stewart, our clerk of session, and he's a member of the mission board, he just met me after the meeting, and he says, Kyle, I'm taking a meeting out, or I'm taking a team out to Uganda. Would you be interested in going? And that was the last thing in my mind, to be honest. And I thought, well, I said to him, well, Barry, I'll have to think about it. And I said to Elaine, and Elaine said, the word she said to me was, well, if you don't go, you'll regret it. Now, I'm a bit of a homebird. I don't really like going away too far. So it was sort of a wee bit against the grain. I was going to have to get on a plane and head away here, leave my family and leave everything behind. Albeit it was only for 2 weeks. But it was still a bit of an ordeal, and I prayed about it, and I was praying about it. And I remember I went, but Barry was starting to give me deadlines. Right, Kyle, I need to know, are you going? And I remember I come to a prayer meeting one night, and the Reverend Knowles was there doing deputation for going to Lewis, and he had to leave early because I think his wife had been into labour or something. There was some big story about it. But I can remember that night that there was a statement made. If God opens a door, you need to have a big excuse not to go through it. And as we came to prayer that night, that started to ring in my head. And it was said as part of the message, if God opens a door, you need to have a big excuse not to go through it. And that night, after it, I went and got him, and I says, right, Barry, I'm going. Well, I can honestly say it was one of the most blessed times that I ever had. Whenever I saw grown men standing in the middle of a yard crying, you know, the Lord really touched our hearts. And you know, at this, I can even feel myself getting emotional, because the Lord really, from that first trip in 2018, the Lord really give us a burden for the school in Uganda. I remember FaceTiming Elaine, and the children were climbing all over me, and I had the phone up, and I remember, I'm not sure if it was one of her children or what she told me herself, but she had done this a number of times, and every time I'd done it, Elaine came off the phone and stood in the kitchen crying. And you know, she had a real burden to go to Uganda as well. And we did the job. It was hard work. I'm an office boy, but I was the main mixer man. So I was mixing mortar for 2 weeks, and men shouting at you, "Where's it at? We're running out of mortar here." And as Mr. McMullen said, it was hard work. We had deadlines to make, but it was a blessed time, and we really enjoyed our time. And see, just spending time with the missionaries on the field, and with our sister Noreen, and with Andrew Foster and his wife, we really had a blessed time. And I can truly say that even we have been serving the Lord all them years in the children's work, whenever we come home, the Lord give us a renewed zeal, really, to get into the work, even coming home. And then we had to go back. We went back later on that year, and it was no different. The work was just as hard, and we got into it, slightly different team, but the Lord, it was just the same, a real blessing. And the Lord seemed to be really intensifying our burden and our love for the work on the mission field. Maybe I should say, well, I remember whenever we got married, Elaine said to me, "You know, I would love whenever our kids," we haven't even got kids at that stage, "but I would love whenever our kids are growing up and away, that we would go to the mission field. Maybe an odd summer, and encourage missionaries." Well, little did I know that's maybe what was going to happen. And then, as the Reverend McMillan said, we were at the, I can't remember what year it was, but we were at the missionary weekend in Ballymoney, and I could see Elaine away in the corner with the Reverend Park. And as I was having the tea, and we were about to head home, and the Reverend Park said to Elaine, "Now, I'll see you tomorrow night. You can let me know your answer tomorrow night." And I says, what's that about? She says, "The Reverend Park has said, asked me would I be interested in going with the VBS to Uganda." I says, "Right." And I says, "Well, but he's not giving me too long. I'll have to give him the answer tomorrow." So she came home and was reading. And as she read, and her readings that morning, she felt that the Lord was leading her. Well, back to, and I tagged along. I really was tagged along to that trip. But it, and the Reverend McMullen was there, and he experienced it. The Lord really blessed, and we saw many souls, many boys and girls coming and putting their faith and trust in the Saviour. And if you're speaking to, and we call her affectionately Madam Noreen, she would tell you that that was a special time. A special time in the school in Uganda. I think, if as I was to give you numbers, I think we had up in 100 children in that week that came and put their trust in the Saviour. And we had a really blessed time, and just to be encouraged with the ministers. And maybe I'll say this because, and I'm not just saying it because the Reverend McMillan's behind me. At that trip, we had the Reverend McMillan, the Reverend Brown, the Reverend Park. And you know, it was a new experience for me because I remember the Reverend Park saying to me, and we had did the lesson, he says, there's children here want to come to the Lord. And I remember sitting, and there was 4 children in front of us. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to deal with 4 children. And I was hoping, the Reverend Park was sitting with me, and I was hoping he would take over. And he just let me continue on. And then I asked him, would he come in, and he helped them. And we led those 4 children to the Lord. And you know, those men could have easily took over, but they didn't. They just encouraged us and guided us and helped us. And you know, we come away from that trip with more experience, with having led children to the Lord, things that we maybe never would have done here. And yet, the Lord gave us the opportunity to see that happen. And those men and their experience and their wisdom just guided us and helped us and just pushed us forward and helped us. And you know, I look back on that and I really appreciate what they did, because really, and humanly speaking, they could have stepped in. Experienced men, they could have stepped in and took over, but they didn't. they just helped us and they gave us. And that was a wonderful trip. We went back that year. We were asked, I think it was Reverend McMillan asked me, would we look at the, I think he found out that was my sort of background in electrical work, and that's right. We have a business. We have been working in this area for, you know, come out of college, and we have our own business. And probably one of the biggest contracts we've had was Wembley Stadium, and we installed the control system that controls all of the electrical distribution throughout the stadium. And we were on that project for 2.5 years, and spent most of those weeks in London, and we lived there for a period of time. And the Lord, really, whenever I look back over my life, I believe the Lord give us all of those experiences, all these stepping stones, just to give you that experience to do a job for Him in the future. And I believe all the things that has happened to us throughout the church life, throughout our business life, has all been guided to take us to that point where we can use those talents for Him. And that's the same with you. Each one of us is on a journey. Each one of us has been taken on a journey. And maybe you're here tonight and you're a joiner, or you're a plumber, or you're a bricklayer, or you're an engineer, or you're a teacher, or you're a children's worker. Whatever job, or a nurse, or a doctor, whatever job you're in, God has given each one in this place tonight a talent. And He has brought you through a journey and give you experiences so that you can take those experiences and talents and use them for Him. And I look back on my life, and He gave me the opportunity to work in the electrical trade. And we went to Uganda. We did, as we would call it in the trade, a recce in December, I think it was 19. And we went back and we did the first installation of the electrical work. And then, as Reverend McMillan said, we didn't go back for 2 years. And we went back this year, and we had the joy of completing that project. And I hope and pray that the Lord continues to give us doors, to give us openings to serve Him. But can I challenge you tonight as I finish, and I've just looked at the clock for the first time. I should have been looking at it a lot earlier, and I'm sure we're away outside our time. But can I challenge you tonight? Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. You're not saved. You don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven. You don't know what it is to have the Savior in your heart. You don't know what it is to be guided in your life by the Savior. Can I urge you tonight to come and put your trust in Him? Zacchaeus that day come down and he took the Savior home to his house. The jailer in Acts 16, the Lord came to his house and he completely changed it. And he saved his house. And you know, the Lord can do the exact same for you in this meeting tonight. Maybe you're saved tonight and you're asking, well, what could I do for Him? Everyone in this meeting tonight has got a talent. Everyone has got a talent, and that talent can be used in the service of the Savior. And I pray tonight that you get to that position that I was in all those years ago, when you're prepared to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, and I'll go wherever you want me to go. Thank you.
We're going to sing just one verse of our closing hymn. It's 269, the verse and chorus. We're very thankful to our brother for coming and speaking so clearly, so powerfully, the challenge to our hearts, to all in the meeting, whether saved or unsaved. It's been very appropriate with the emphasis on the home, as we think of this Father's Day, and as we think of the change in that home that was made when our brother's father came to Christ those many years ago. We pray the Lord would do that again, do it in our city, do it over and over. And very appropriate as well, as we think of the meetings this week in Killalea and the emphasis that our brother has placed in his testimony tonight upon the work among the boys and girls, and the great challenge and the very relevant challenge that has brought to all of our hearts just at this time. So we do thank him sincerely. Think of the burden of need for workers, for those work teams. Our brother, in the will of God, will go out again later this year. There's no hot water in those missionary apartments. So that is the next project that they're engaged in. Some things to do just to finalise, to tidy up the electrical installation, a few other bits and pieces. And then looking forward to some fairly substantial building projects that we're to be engaged in there again. So keep all of that in mind and pray the Lord will guide you. And let us know if you'd like to be a part of any of those projects. 269, just the first verse. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. So the first verse and chorus, and we'll stand to sing, please. Servant as he has spoken to us tonight. Lord, we thank you for what you did in this home and family those many years ago. We thank you for not just a life changed, but we thank you, Father, for a family that was changed and transformed as well. We thank you for what you did in the jailer's home. And Lord, we've heard tonight that you're still able to do the same in our day and generation. Lord, we ask thee to change homes in this city of ours. So we ask tonight, Lord, we ask thee to help us not to be faithless, but believing. We pray that you'll increase our faith as we call upon thee. And Lord, as a congregation, we ask that in months and years to come, there'll be those that will sit in these pews, just like Kyle's family, those many years ago, like the jailer's family, whose home has been changed by the sovereign grace of God. Lord, speak to all of our hearts. We think of the work to be done this week. We pray we'll be up and doing for the Master while we have opportunity. And Lord, even those opportunities and doors that are opening to support and to serve on the mission field, Lord, we pray that even hearts tonight might be touched. And as our brother surrendered to the Lord and to his will, whatever it might be, those years ago, may there be some in this meeting tonight that will do the same. So hear our cries. Lord, we commit ourselves just to thee tonight, into your hands. We pray for your safekeeping through this incoming week. And we ask thee to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's love the boat, one day our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.